We'll go ahead and begin the Bible study this afternoon. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3 and verse 17. Before I get into the Bible study, I just have to say, we want to say thank you to the scribers. That was certainly not something we expected, but, you know, change is constant, and we appreciate the service. And, you know, it's not like he's going away, but we appreciate the service and look forward to him, you know, for his last few years. And we look forward, or last few months, and we look forward to seeing Mr. Tuck return again to see. I don't know how that's going to work, because there'll be 8 Tucks in the room when you... So when you say Mr. Tuck, you'll be talking about a lot of Mr. Tucks, you know. Okay, all right, let's open again. James chapter 3, and beginning in verse 17. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And when we think of pureness, I know many people have related it to pure gold or pure. I'm talking about the pureness of mind. And if you're looking for a title for the Bible study today, it would be pureness of mind. Because when it says an easy to entreat, in other words, we can ask God for mercy and we can ask for that to be pure. And in a world that is so impure right now, it's incredible to see what we're up against. But at the same time, we know that there's a great God in this universe that rules the entire universe and is at peace and has pureness complete. And we think, well, you know, but yeah, that's not our world. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it can be. Pureness of God, the pure thoughts, pure, the word hagenos in the Greek meaning clean, innocent, modest, perfect. God's perfect. And how hard do we strive for that purity that comes from God? See, if we're filling our minds with impurities, it does not allow God's Holy Spirit to have a stronghold in our minds. And when we read, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Brethren, God doesn't want us to continue to be ignorant. "But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manners of conversation, because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.'" That's a tall order, but our Savior, our example, Jesus Christ, did it, so we know it's possible, because he was in the flesh, just like us. Dropping down to verse 22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And when we talk about a pure heart fervently, the love God has for each one of us and God has for you, it is incredible to realize that we're mere lumps of clay, and when we put it into perspective, how much God wants us to be a part of his kingdom, but to become pure like him. Let's continue to go down in verse 23. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Brethren, when we think of how fast time goes by, as Mr. Scriber was saying, I'm seeing these young people up here on stage, and it's so funny. I remember when Mr. Carl Bonanno was talking about Sydney and said, you know, oh, you have such big eyes. And she started crying because she thought he was making fun of her. And she says, no, sweetie, you're such a beautiful young girl. But she didn't, you know, here you go from this tiny little girl to this beautiful young lady and these young men and young ladies up here on the stage to say, wow, where did the time go? Where did the time go? So we have to capture that time. There's only a little time to love. Very, very little time when we think about it. And we're always distracted. Distracted away from the pureness of God. We think that because we see, you start any movie, typical Hollywood movie, you've broken 6 or 7 of the commandments right out of the gate. Whether there's fornication, whether there's adultery, whether there's murder, whether there's taking God's name in vain. We cannot allow that to be our diet of what God would have us to be, to have the pure thoughts that God is looking for from us. Let's go over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. In going through this Bible study, it dawned on me so much how exact opposite Satan has pushed us towards wanting to think of things, impure thoughts, impure ways, losing the innocence. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, you know, when we're watching a movie and it says, oh, we can't let the little kids watch, well, should you be watching it? I know there's times when you say, okay, this is all that Hollywood has to offer. Do we want it? Can we fill up on that and still feel good? More importantly, are we drawing closer to God in all that we say and do? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, to the pure all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both the mind and their conscience is defiled. And in the contemporary English version, it says, everything is pure for someone whose heart is pure, but nothing is pure for unbelievers with a dirty mind. The person's mind and conscience are destroyed. And when you see someone who cannot see good anymore, they only see things in a way, in a negative connotation, in a negative light, it hurts you to the core. To know that there is hope, but they can't see it. But you have to retain in your mind so much, how much that you want God to lead you in the way of pureness. We say, oh, innocence is lost with the childhood. I beg to differ. Because if we're trying to live God's way of life, the pureness that God is looking for should represent who we are and how we do it. I'm very thankful that with the position I have right now, I meet people from all walks of life. I was in Salt Lake City this week and meeting with a young man, and you know, there was a lot of moral conversation going on, but you see that there's an innocence, but then there's also a willingness to not dig into the scriptures, not dig into what's real. They're only willing to go with, some people are only willing to go with what they've been taught, never taking the time to study this word, to understand God's fullness. You know, Satan's all about vain thoughts. And the purity that we can have must not be allowed. We can't allow him to build a hedge around us, filling our minds with uplifting thoughts, conversing about those things that give glory to God. How often is that your conversation? You say, well, I work with people in the world, but you let your light so shine. Now, is this exactly the opposite of what's happening in the entire world? Of course it is. because this is Satan's world. But we have a responsibility. Can you imagine being one of the disciples with Christ and the uplifting conversations? Now, granted, they had their carnal behavior at times, but they saw pureness, greatness, and everything, everywhere else in this universe, what governs everything else in this universe? We're one little speck. One little speck. God is great. And we'll go on, and I'll get to that more, but adversarial thoughts from Satan and the craftiness of our enemy allows us sometimes to think that when we go to church, oh, I'm good. I go to church on a Sabbath. I keep the food laws. I don't keep Christmas, so I have to be good. You have to decide how pure are your thoughts. You have to decide based upon God's word. Because every time we overcome, a change will incur and will happen to see, wow, I still got a long ways to go. And God gives us those little nuggets to say, so those bite-sized pieces. We eat this elephant one bite at a time. Now don't be going and saying, oh, I'm telling you to eat unclean meat. So I'm just saying. When we choose to converse about the supreme being of this universe, his holy days, his plan of salvation, we understand the value that God has placed upon us. And how much time he's put into giving us the opportunity to be a part of his plan. We cannot take for granted the pureness that God has given us the time to worship him on this Sabbath day. Over in James chapter 1, verse 27. It speaks about pure religion. And says, pure religion, James chapter 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God is the Father and the Father is this, to visit the father and the widows in their afflictions, to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, when we think of a pure mind, is stimulated by a greater understanding what God is revealing, not the rants of mankind. And what's deemed important in this world may not be, most of the time is not, important to what God has in store for us. See, a pure mind seeks to enlighten itself with things that are going to not focus on the hatred that is so widely broadcast. You know, most people have the worst to first mentality. They have to let it get to a point in their lives where they're at rock bottom before they call on God. I tell you, call on God every day. Talk to him every day. Enjoy what he has. But when you see things happening, you should already be on your knees, knowing ahead of time that it's going to not react. We don't need to react in fear, but we can, our first reaction should be to have faith. To have faith. So that we understand what God has in store for us. A pure mind eschews the darkness, interpreting the events around him that are deemed newsworthy against the magnitude and scope of what God the Father has in Jesus Christ. They allude to through these scriptures all the time. All the time. And as we mature as Christians, we focus less and less on the world's events and delve in more into what God has in store for us. Keeping that vision first and foremost in our minds as we mature. It's not going to happen all the time, but as we mature, those things that we think that are important, I mean, if I could get a penny for every time I would like to hear less about what's happening and the elections and everything else, I'd be a rich man. Why? Because it's, God puts people in office. We can be assured of that. And God's in charge. We can be assured of that. And this is a big plan, big picture plan. You know, when we think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Mr. Tuck alluded to it last week in his sermon. If you were here, he talked about Paul, who was born in Tarsus, which was over in eastern Turkey. But he had an emphasis on purity. Why? Because throughout the Bible, we see an emphasis on purity. Understanding the unfeigned love that comes from a God. Should that only be in children? I dare say not. It has to come from within here. I don't care how old you are. We can't accept, oh, that's just sin. That's the way the world is. That may be the way the world is, but that's not the way we are supposed to be. We have to come to a greater understanding. So when we see Paul, who was Saul to begin with, he trained under Rabbi Gamaliel, and, you know, he was an educated man. He went to Pharisaic rabbinical school. So he was in direct odds of Christ's teachings. But God, Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus, blinded him. Said, Paul, why are you kicking against the goats? I need you. I need you to do the right thing. Who are you, Lord? I'm the one you're persecuting. And you know, when you think about the Pharisees, it means to separate. And the Pharisees were separate in every aspect of what Jesus Christ was doing. I mean, when you think about it, when we read the scriptures, and at the end, they'll still want to build a temple. They'll still want to sacrifice on the mountain. Jesus Christ knew that they were going to do that because why? He could count on them to be the same stubborn people throughout. But yet and still, Paul was called to change, and he changed. And the ironic thing is that he once was a persecutor, and then he became persecuted. But he knew the thought process, the adversarial thought process of dividing, trapping, accusations. I sit in the airports a lot. And I watch people watch the news. And I see how the demeanor and the look and the glares change when people see something that stirs up hatred and strife. Brethren, we can't drink the Kool-Aid. We have to be so far above that thought process, knowing that when we start to face the persecutions as you Sabbath keepers are going to face, you have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And with pureness of mind, still keep it, say, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't care what happens to me. I have to obey God. I have to obey God. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity, love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned. See, God's love, the agape love, it's the only way to have a pure heart. If we have hate in our heart, if we still want to kill somebody, if we still want to, oh, I'll do whatever I have to do. What did Jesus Christ do? As Mr. Scriber just said, he went from being the supreme God of the universe, part of the family of the God, to being destroyed as a criminal, spat upon, beaten. Why? Because he had a pure heart, a pure understanding. See, in the third heaven, that's all there is pure understanding, pure love. The pureness of mind, not to say anything negative or derogatory. going on in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9, you can write this down. It says, holding the mystery of the faith in pure consciousness, pure conscience. Now then, we have to live a life that doesn't allow for us to be persuaded by thoughts that are carnal in nature. Now, we are born carnal, but we're called to change, as we've heard today. And throughout the Bible, you see a consistent base where God teaches his people, and it's in the future. He talks about in Zephaniah 3:9, a pure language that will be spoken, worthy to be spoken, worthy to be spoken. And it says, we will serve the Lord in one consent. Satan's all about distractions, impure thoughts, impure actions, impure deeds. Everything that's dirty, wrong, disgusting, that's our adversary. And he tries to draw us in, but we can't allow ourselves to be a part of that. We have to change our thoughts, because sin is never cool. It's not. And the closer you draw to God, not the longer, but the closer you draw to God, you understand how much you don't want to be a part of sin, and how much more satisfying it is to be a part of God's way of life rather than Satan's way. See, God's way is exactly the opposite of our adversaries. And when we read over in Philippians, and I'll just read it to you, it says, finally, brethren, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is not a suggestion. This is what God trying to tell us what we need to do to be a part of his family. Because guess what? That's what's happening in the third heaven. Being in tune and resonating with the frequency that God has makes the broadcast of our adversary useless. Vain babblings. Again, too much time is spent on nonsense. And he's turned the world upside down. Whether we go about talking about who's going to be sitting next to you in a bathroom, to a child being dragged by a gorilla and a gorilla being shot. Brethren, where are we at? Where's our thought process? Do we allow ourselves that time? Yes, okay, look at it, see it for what it's worth. But how is that helping us get to the kingdom? How does that resonate with God in understanding his way of life? See, we have to think higher. Think higher. We're here to learn, but we're also here to grow. And as the growth process happens, we have to shift gears in our minds to understand that we can't keep dwelling on the same things. We can't. And expect to grow. Now, we are creatures of habit, but we also are creatures that God has given us the mind to continue to flourish. When we allow ourselves to say, God, ask for that wisdom. God, can I have some of your wisdom? Can I have some of your understanding? He says, yes. Read it and understand it. And who in here hasn't read this book time and time again and not seen a growth process to say, wow, I didn't see that last time I read that scripture? It happens all the time. But we have to read it. Oh, I'm too tired during the week. Oh, I didn't have time for it this week. Oh, I'll get to it next week. Really? What's important to you? What's important? Pure is described as innocent, clean, modest, perfect thoughts, these thoughts, this way of life is real that rules the universe. What we see on this little planet is only happening here. And it doesn't dictate what happens in the third heaven. God is so much greater. The vain rhetoric that dominates the airways, how much more derogatory can it get? More importantly, how much more can it divide people and have people, even in the church, on one side of the aisle and on the other? Why? Is that what God wants? The meltdown of moral values is happening. Purity is looked upon as a fable. To some people, it's despised. You guys, are you serious? You don't think that it's okay for two men and two women to be together? Get with the program. You don't think that it's whatever the case may be. Brethren, God put his rules in place so we'd have an understanding. Who do we think that says, oh, it's okay to eat that fruit? God said, you shall not surely die. Come on. Come on, we got to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. To a higher understanding, to a higher learning, to a higher way of conducting ourselves, the way that God would have us conduct ourselves. With a thought process that's pure. When we see these beautiful young children, I was talking to Mr. Knutson earlier, and to see his beautiful granddaughter in his arms, clutching him preciously. The purity of a child. He said, well, I'm not going to be like a child. No, he said, don't be childish, be childlike. Why? Because we need to understand that God's way of life never went out of fashion. And God's way of life will be around for eternity. Again, the whole creation groans till our change comes. But we know a lot of work has gone into God preparing for us to be a part of his family. And we have to put in work. We have to put in work. And what is that work? Obedience, repentance, learning to love, learning to have faith, doing the things that should come natural. Now, do we have an adversary who's telling us, oh no, that's not the way? Yes, we do. But why are we listening to him? When you have the Creator telling us, okay, do this, and you have somebody who was created saying, no, no, don't do that, you'll have more fun if you go over here and do this, what sense does that make? See, the distractions that our adversary would have is not to focus in on the great magnitude of God's plan. Again, and I mention this over and over because the longevity of God's plan. As I mentioned before, seeing all these children growing up and now they're grown adults, beautiful children, children having children. Mr. Real Knutson, we used to babysit Mr. Real Knutson, now he has his own child. Okay? Wow. But I'm not getting old. Really? And I think about it, you know, it's just we continue to, time goes by, life is but a vapor. We only have a short time. So let's get on the right frequency. Let's resonate with what God has to say. These scriptures in this Bible are alive. He would have you believe that the scriptures in this Bible are something of the past. This is life, and it gives life. It gives life. So, we have the foundation of repentance, obedience, faith. True wisdom is revealed of our future destination, which will be here shortly. Pure thoughts will not be contained or limited by short-range thinking. Rather, God is telling us to lift our minds to see the holiness and the greatness and the grandeur that he has in store. Let's go over to 1 John verse 3. Chapter 3 and verse 1. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not." Jesus Christ was right there on the face of the earth with the people around him, and they didn't want to see him. They thought he was going to come in power back then, but you know what? He did come in power. He showed us how we are to be. And again, if you think that, well, he was Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. But he equipped us with the tools to do the same thing that he's doing. Are we going to fall down? Sure we are. But we continue. That's why his shed blood allows us to get back up and keep moving forward. To understand fully how that God's mind is supposed to be. So that we have that pureness of mind to understand who we are to be, what we're supposed to do, and how we're supposed to do it. Verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are the sons, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is." Verse 3, "And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure." Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. We're almost for our last scripture set. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. A very familiar scripture. But it says, "But as is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him." See, we have to love him. We have to learn to love his way of life and eschew evil. Get rid of the darkness. Not want to be a part of it and still say, keep one foot in the world. And say, well, you know, it's okay if I do this, this, and this. Well, is it sin? Well, yeah, but then get rid of it. Going on in verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed to them us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the Spirit which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us." See, they're freely given to us. We have to understand how much he wants us to be a part of his plan. Again, over and over and over, I'm going to keep saying it, because we have to raise up our mindset to know that as soon as we walk out of services, we start talking about things of the world. What good does that do? How does that help you? And how does that help you get closer to God? Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which a man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can they know him, because they are spiritually discerned." God has given us a mind that we can understand his way of life. Do we understand everything perfectly? Absolutely not. But that's part of the growth process. That's part of it, is so that we can be a part of continuing to grow. And it doesn't just end here. It's for eternity. Because as the universe continues to expand, and his wisdom, as it says in Isaiah, and there's no end to his peace and his government. Again, for this vapor of time, you have the opportunity, you, what's your name? Have the opportunity to be a part of God's family. Now, so it's explained in the scriptures, our destination, our destiny is much more than what the world can know, because they don't discern, things aren't discerned according to the worldly ways. The ransom men are so tarnished in the ungodly world, it's like air with no oxygen at higher altitudes. There's still oxygen up there when you get to on top of Mount Everest, but it's very, very faint. And we have a lot of wind blowing around. And you know, it's funny, I was looking up some things about oxygen. 100% pure oxygen will kill you. But God's will and God's word and God's way of life will not kill you. It brings life. So we have to have a balance. A pure mind, a religion, consists of doing things God tells us to do, to visit the widows and the fatherless. Why? Why? Why is that important to God? Because it takes us off of what we've been trained to do, and that is focus on self. We awaken to a greater height, a greater understanding when we close the door and go and serve someone else. Talk to people that we normally don't talk to. Serve the brethren. Because as it stands, learning the way of give, which dominates God's way in His kingdom and dominates the entire universe except for this little planet. So we need to get on board to lift up those who are incapable of doing things for themselves and to achieve greater awareness of right versus wrong. I remember the story with George Foreman, how he talked about, he didn't even know wrong was what was wrong. If he saw something somebody else had, he was a big enough kid that he would just go take it. And finally somebody told him, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And he didn't know it. He didn't know it. Nobody had ever told him. You have thousands of people, millions of people out there that don't know the difference between right and wrong. These are people we have to teach. But we have to live that example and know it ourselves through the pureness of God's mind. We have to prepare our minds through this present evil age to prepare for the atrocities to come. Because you can't bring a knife to a gunfight or a gunfight to a nuclear bomb fight. And I say this because it's going to take more than we are capable of if we start to go, when we start going through tribulation. It's going to take God's Spirit in us to not run and be run away naked, as the disciple did the night that Christ was being persecuted and he was to be crucified. It's going to take more than what we are capable of, but God's giving it to us, the understanding. Right now there's so much division being stirred. Like I said, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Be a part of something bigger, much bigger. It's small right now, but it's big overall. And when we look back and we see, it's like, wow, I can't believe. I almost fell for that. This expanding universe, God is going to have His pureness come to everyone who wants to be a part of His kingdom. There will be no impure thoughts. Satan will be removed. What a great time. What a blessed time. So we have that to look forward to, but we have to live it now. We have to learn to live it now. But we have to step up our game. Step up our understanding of what God has in store for us so that we can decide the difference between right and wrong. The pureness of message, the pure message that God gives to us, we have to resonate with. And we can truly be a part of His kingdom. That'll conclude the Bible study for today. So thank you for coming.